بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 17th of August in the year 2016 and inshallah to spend the session again on the subject of character but specifically talking about why an individual is tested by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how to remain firm when put through these tests by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I mentioned a few of these points yesterday. I'll just mention it for the sake of the brothers again. So firstly, pure logic. Is it not an undeniable fact that the comfort which is experienced after misery is much better than the comfort which was experienced before the misery? This is similar to how food is enjoyed much more when it is eaten when one is really hungry. So this is a good starting point. So pure logic. You're going through a test. Before the test, you're having a period of ease. There's no doubt, comfort. So you got comfort, suddenly you're in a test. When that test finishes, you go back to comfort. But is that comfort after the test like the comfort before the test? No. Yeah, it's the same. So there's one wisdom. Allah the Almighty wants good for you. So you appreciate times of ease. And the example you can give is when a person's hungry, he looks forward to eating. But if he's already satiated, you offer food, he's not really that interested. Secondly, we can turn to the Qur'an. One of the great ways to comfort a person going through tribulations is this verse. In Surah 57, verse 22, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَعَهَا إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. No calamity can befall the earth, nor your own selves, which is not recorded in a book before we bring it into existence in this world. Verily, this is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, whatever calamity strikes, small or great, it was already written in a book before the world was created. And then Allah the Almighty then says, this is easy. In other words, don't think this is difficult. And yet, the first thing that goes through your mind is that possible? So Allah Ta'ala answers the objection immediately. He goes, this is easy for me. So question, why then be worried about something which was written before the creation of the world? You understand? Before you was created, before your dad was created, before your first father Adam was created, alayhi salatu wasalam, before the world was created, Allah Ta'ala had written it. So doesn't that give you comfort? But if you haven't got belief, you're going to be getting stressed over these matters. Similarly, the Prophet echoed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Abu Dawood 2-290, you must be convinced that whatever condition came upon you was bound to come upon you. And whatever condition did not come upon you was bound not to come upon you. So this is logical, but it's hard to get into your life. The Prophet goes, whatever reaches you, it had to reach you. Nothing could stop it. But what does the nafs tell you? It goes, oh, why has this reached me? So the response is, nothing could stop it. And something misses you, it goes, it would never have reached you. For example, you go for a job interview. You don't get the job. So what? I was never going to get the job. But the person without this belief, he starts thinking all sorts of strange thoughts. Maybe if I'd gone earlier, maybe if I'd done more research, maybe if I've done this and that. You tried, that's it. It wasn't your kismet. Third way to look at calamities. In Ibn al-Mubarak, in his Zuhud number 127 or 1-32, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah the Almighty wills good for the person, He causes him to be pleased with whatever He decreed for him and blesses him in it. However, when he does not will good for the person, he causes him not to be pleased with whatever was decreed for him and does not bless him in it. So this is how Allah Ta'ala deals with his servants. You're put through a test. Allah Ta'ala is watching you now. If you are pleased, Allah Ta'ala is pleased with you and he blesses that calamity. Look how strange that is. Calamities are blessed. Mind telling that to somebody? You're a very lucky person, you. He goes, what do you mean? Keep on getting, you know, if you are pleased, that calamity becomes blessed. Allah Ta'ala blesses it. But if you're not pleased, he does not bless it. Meaning you're just going through woodies. Congratulations. Clarifying further, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 971, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the servant, he then tests him. If he is patient, he draws him near. If he is content, he chooses him. This is a very interesting report. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Imagine somebody, you ask a human being, who do you love? He says, I love my mother. Would you put her through tremendous tribulations? A person goes, what sort of love is this? So straight away, we're not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he loves, he does things that we don't do. So look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wasn't he the most beloved? What did he go through? So this is what he does. But then look how interesting. There's two ways to react to this test. Both are good. But one's better. If you're patient, in other words, you think, Yalla, I'm patient, but I want this to leave. This is too much of a burden for me, but I'm patient. Allah Ta'ala draws him near, meaning you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the second person, he's happy. He goes, and in fact, if you tell that person, if you were given a choice, and you, would you like to be in this condition? Or would you like not to be in this condition? He would say, I would like to be in this condition. Who am I to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then look what happens. Allah Ta'ala chooses him. Now what does that mean? He becomes a saint. Allah Ta'ala only chooses saints. When people say, where are the saints? You know, good question. The response is, this is the sign of the saint. He is happy with whatever Allah Ta'ala does. Then you ask a person, how many can you count on your fingers? We've got that quality. In fact, in the locality, can you think of one person? As soon as he's tested, you see a big smile on his face. What's going on with him? Is he feeling good? And yeah, that's the saint. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't want that. In other words, it's not a fard. But if you have that quality, he chooses you. But if you're patient, he still gives you something which is your deserving of subhanahu wa ta'ala. Note, those who are happy and content over tests are especially beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Tabarani, in his Awsat, number 9243, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw a small group and he asked them, what are you? So imagine, like, we're a small group now. What a question to ask is, what are you? So the Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we're believers. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what is the sign of your iman? They said, we are patient when we are tested. We are grateful for ease and we are happy with the divine decree. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the Lord of the Kaaba, you are indeed believers. So let's look at this. Very easy people, your brother, all believers. Talk is cheap. Somebody goes, okay, you're a believer. Where's the proof? Because I said I'm a believer. That's not a proof, that's a statement. The Sahaba said, we believe we are believers because we've got three qualities. One, we're patient when a test comes. Two, we are grateful when there's no tests. And we are happy with whatever Allah Ta'ala decrees. The Prophet didn't say you are believers. He goes, Rabbul Qa'aba, by the Lord of the Qa'aba, you are believers. Meaning this is a very high level. Congratulations. In another report, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in Abu Nu'aym al-Hiliya 10-192, you are indeed wise and knowledgeable, almost like prophets on account of your understanding. Subhanallah. You are indeed wise and knowledgeable, almost like prophets. Imagine. Almost like prophets. Alayhi salatu wasalam. On account of your understanding, meaning you're my students. He could have said, I've trained you well, that's what we'd say next. But he goes, you're almost becoming prophets, meaning that department's closed. If anybody could earn it, it would be you, my students. In another report, in Tabarani, in his Kabir 22-320, Hadithi Qudsi, Our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he relates that the Lord of the world says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing worthy of worship except me. Whoever is not patient with my test, in reality, is not grateful for my blessings. And whoever is not content with my decree, let him seek a Lord besides me. So this is a threat now. So what does our loving Lord mention? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are not patient with the test, you are not grateful. Meaning that's fard. You have to be patient. That's a fard. You're tested. You want the test to finish, but you're patient. If you haven't got that, you're in a state of sin. Think about that. For instance, you get ill. Something happens to you. So then this is the fard for you. You think, Ya Allah, please give me shafa. But I'm patient with what you've done. That's fard. If you go, why have you done this to me? That's a type of kufr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he's not grateful. He can say Alhamdulillah subhanahu day and night because he's not grateful. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he who is not happy with my decree, let him seek another God besides me. Meaning, for example, you're blessed with four daughters and you go, why did God give me four daughters? I wanted four sons. You're not happy with the decree. So go and seek another God. So now it is obligatory to be patient over one's tests. To be content is excellent, highly recommended. So how do you explain this hadith? Because this hadith indicates it's fard. Firstly, this narration has a weak channel transmission. Secondly, true servitude necessitates contentment, without which there is most assuredly a weakness in one's servitude to our master. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Meaning it's not literal. It means there's weakness in you, that you're not happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you think of an instance where the Prophet was never happy with the decree? Imagine what Allah ta'ala put him through. Was he never happy? He was always content. This is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So why? Because this is the highest level of iman. He was displaying it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another divine tradition, Allah the Almighty wants, and woe to whoever says, why or how did this happen? This is in Tabarani in his Kabir 12-134, Bayhaqi in his Al-I'tiqad, page 145. Something happens. First thing in your mouth, why? Allah the Almighty goes, woe to you for asking that question. Oh, how did this happen? Question, how quickly do we say that when the test comes? Straight away, the first thing that comes out, hey, how's that happened? You said to that person, Allah is warning you for asking that question. And why has this happened? In another divine tradition, our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam in Hakim al-Tirmidhi, number 1981. O Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, you want and I want. And only what I want will come to pass. Thus, if you submit to what I want, I will be sufficient with you for what you want. However, if you do not submit to what I want, then I will tire you with what you want. And ultimately, there will be not anything except what I want. So this narration is baffling. So Allah the Almighty, who is he speaking to? His beloved servant, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. What's he talking about? This subject. He goes, you want and I want. Imagine what you want. What do you want? 10 sons. Guess what? Allah Ta'ala hasn't given you 10 sons. So who's dominant? You or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else do you want? Billionaire. You're not a billionaire. So who's dominant? So here Allah Ta'ala says, you want and I want. But don't forget, this is a messenger. He's not thinking like that. But even a messenger, Allah Ta'ala is telling him, you want, I want. What I want happens. Then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you submit to what I want. So you want something, you don't get it. But then you say, Ya Allah, you're the master. You know better. You submit. Then I will be sufficient for you with what you want. Me, this is a secret. If you really want something, Allah Ta'ala is telling you, is giving you a secret. If you really want something from him, then be happy with what he gives you. Then he'll arrange things for you. those beg of me for your need, either I will give, or if not, leave the knowledge of it to me, for this is better for you. You don't understand. Then Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, if you do not submit to what I want, meaning you challenge, then I will tire you with what you want. So Allah will keep asking me. I'm not going to listen now. Ya Allah, give me. But you're saying how and why? So what do you want? How and why is coming out of your mouth? So why are you asking for now? Allah says, I'm going to make you tired now. Keep asking. And then he says, ultimately, what I want prevails. Now this narration is explaining Tawheed. A very important aspect of our deen. We try our best. If it wasn't to be, Ya Allah, you know better. But Shaitan provokes you. He goes, you did all this, nothing happened. What's Shaitan putting into your heart? Kufr. He's making you doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because why? He's dominant. If he wants something, I can go blue in the face. I can go to prophets. It's not going to happen. Let alone awliya ikram and saints and shuyukh. So what we do is we try our best, but then we submit. Ya Allah, this is what we call Muslims. Yeah, we've tried, you know better. We don't know why, but you did not want this to happen. But if you're that interested, ask in paradise. He'll give you the answer. In Ahmad in his Musnad number 22,210 or 6-435, our beloved messenger, he warned us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to anything which he wrote for you. Never accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to anything which he decreed for you. Think about that's hard, because when you put through a test, Allah Ta'ala had written that for you. Imagine in your book, he'd written it. So the Prophet goes, never ever think ill of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows you don't know. So imagine, think of things in your life that you would not have liked to happen. Guess what? There's a problem there. This was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he likes that in a servant. And is there a dua for this? Yes, we should make this following dua. In Ahmad in his Musnad number 21,158 or 6-246, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he supplicated, As'aluka Allahumma rida ba'd al-qada. I ask you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be pleased after whatever decision is passed. That's a dua. Why? Because it's not a normal reaction. You're asking for something. Imagine, tried everything, it didn't happen. So the natural reaction is to feel grief. The Prophet goes, make this dua. As'aluka Allahumma rida ba'd al-qada. I ask you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be pleased after whatever decision is passed. Give me that quality. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another report in Ahmad, authentic, he goes, the haqiqatul iman, the reality of iman is tasted by the one who is content over the decree. He tastes the sweetness because he's a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with regards to the value of patience, somebody goes, okay, mashallah, jazakallah khair. What about the value of patience? Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he said something very interesting, rahmatullah alayh. Hafiz ibn Qayyim, rahmatullah alayh, in his Risalato ila Ahadi Ikhwani, page 76 of the English translation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant a blessing to a person only to take it away, leaving patience in its place, except that the replacement was better than that was removed. Then he recited Surah Al-Zumr, Surah 39, verse 10. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. Verily the patient will be paid their wages in full without reckoning. So let's break this down. So what did the great Umar bin Abdul Aziz say, rahmatullah alayh? Because you're given something. Think about it. Everything you own is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, why are you grieving? You should only grieve when something you own, you're losing it. Somebody goes, look, why are you upset, brother? Oh, I lost my keys. It's not your keys. Allah ta'ala gave you those keys. I've lost my job. Allah ta'ala gave you the job. Right? I've lost my... Think about it. So the grief is part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't make sense. I've allowed it. But here, Umar bin Abdul Aziz said, when Allah Ta'ala gives you a blessing and he takes it back, And you are then given patience. So imagine, it's replaced with patience. The patience is better than what was taken. Where that one at? So a person goes, okay, I lost my father. Were you patient? Yes, the patience was greater than the loss of your father. Person goes, what? I lost my mother. Were you patient? Yes, the patience was greater than the loss of your mother. Where's the proof of this? The Quran. Verily the patient will be paid their wages in full without reckoning. Meaning, you can't even put it onto a scale. It's such a huge characteristic with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a saying, but it's only half true. One of the poets, he said English. He said, it is better to have loved and lost to never have loved at all. He made a mistake. With patience. Without patience, it is a nonsensical statement. It is better to have loved and lost with patience than never to have loved at all. That's the revelation now. This shows that human akal can only go certain far, a certain level. It'll make mistakes. So actually, we do congratulate him. He went halfway, but he didn't complete it. You know. So if you love something and you lose it, that's better than not loving something that you've lost in the first place. So a person goes, well, it's hard to understand, but it is a deep statement. But if you have patience, because the patience is greater than what you've lost. Have you understood this? Right? So patience is a beautiful characteristic. Our beloved messenger himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 4459, Al-Qudai, in his Musnad al-Shihab, number 1462, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if I direct to a slave, of amongst my slaves, an affliction in his body, in his wealth, his children, and he faces it with beautiful patience, then on the day of resurrection, I will be shy about placing his deeds on a scale or even opening up his record of deeds. Subhanallah. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're tested, what were the things he mentioned? You're tested in your body, meaning you fall ill. You're tested with your wealth, you lose your wealth. You're tested with your children, they get fall ill, pass away. And you face it with beautiful patience. Allah the Almighty goes, I become shy to even look into your accounts. That's part of the Bighayri Hisab. Imagine it. Meaning this is something you should strive towards. And that also shows you are rewarded not just for your personal affliction, but also your family. People say, well, am I getting rewarded for this? He's going through the harm or she's... Yes, but you are being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you show patience, you'll be given bi ghayri hisab, ajran, azim. In addition, one must also bear in mind that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, patiently waiting for relief is an act of worship. Patiently waiting for relief is an act of worship. In Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 9531, Al-Qudai, in his Musnad al-Shihab, number 46. So somebody goes, brother, you don't know how long this has been going on. There's another thing they're pulling. How long, brother? He goes, this problem hasn't gone away for the year. And you say, right, I'm going to ask you one question. Are you patiently waiting for it to go? Because yes. Then for that year, you've been rewarded worship. Allah is recording worship for you. You're in active worship because you're waiting patiently for relief. Once you tell them that, what's the first thing that goes through his head? He's not bothered now about the time. He says, I'm getting rewarded for ibadat, for doing nothing. There you go. But you must be patient. One must always bear in mind we will never be tested beyond what we are capable of. The analogy can be given of a small child who tries to walk when he is encouraged by his parents. Then when he is about to fall, the parents rush to save him from falling. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling out at the time of hardship. Do not lose hope or be worried. Try to walk. I am waiting to help you. Look how beautiful the scholar's analogies. Right? So you see a parent, and you see the child tottering. And what is the parent doing? Why is it making the child go through that hardship? Because he needs to walk. He's not going to crawl all his life, is it? But what's beautiful? The parents waiting for him to fall. In other words, you made your effort, and when you reach the point you can't take anymore, I'll catch you. He goes, that is exactly the same as the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is His mercy. He will test you, but when you get to the limit of your test, He stops it. Think about that. So don't start coming out with these crazy statements. This is why suicide is such a grave crime. Because a person saying, I know better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I can't, they say, he leaves a suicide note. He goes, I can't live anymore. The test is too great. So you should write a letter back to the barzakh. You're a big liar, aren't you? Right? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has told you He's not going to put you into a test like that. You're lying. And that's because of lack of knowledge. This is why this is such a great crime when a person commits suicide. He's fighting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also reflect upon, now this is another question. I have prayed and I have prayed. My dua is not getting answered. How often is that people say that to you? He goes, look brother, you're right. Islam is beautiful, fantastic. Well, when problems come, no seems to happen. He goes, what do you mean? I'm making dua. What's happening? How long are you making dua? And he even gives you the days. He goes, 3 months, 27 days. Oh, you're counting it. MashaAllah. Imagine if Allah Ta'ala starts counting His blessings. Then he says, alright, okay. Reflect upon the following report. In Sikun Iqalb, number 325, Imam Ahmad, he relates this, rahmatullah alayh. Two men went out to catch fish. One was an unbeliever, the other a Muslim. So imagine, they're both fishermen. One's a Muslim, one's a non-Muslim. The unbeliever would take the name of other gods when casting his net, and his net would get filled with fish. Jesus Christ, the next minute, whoa, look at the catch, fantastic. Krishna, Buddha, whatever, right? The Muslim on the other hand, he would say Bismillah, wouldn't even catch a single fish. The two continued fishing in this way, all the way till sunset. So imagine all day they're fishing. He's getting, you know, fish left, right and center with his kufr. And the Muslim's getting nothing. The Muslim eventually caught one fish. But what a failure. That fish slipped from his hands, jumped back into the water. The poor Muslim, frustrated, returned without even a single fish, whilst the unbeliever returned with his net full of fish. So what happened? The angel of the Muslim, the angel that was with the Muslim, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was greatly saddened by this strange and astounding incident. And he complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is it that a servant who believes in you takes your name, returns with a single fish, whilst your unbelieving servant returns with his net full of fish? Allah the Almighty thereupon displayed the grand mansion which He had prepared in paradise for the Muslim, and then addressed the angel, alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, after my believing servant receives this mansion, which will he still think of the sorrow and pain he experienced at his failure in catching fish? He then showed the angel the terrible punishment which was prepared for the unbeliever in hell. And he said, will all the things which the unbeliever acquires in this world, let alone fish, rescue him in any way from this eternal torment of the hellfire? The angel replied, oh my Lord, I take an oath in your name. This can never happen. There you go. So outwardly, the person's going to get doubts. Because I'm saying Bismillah, I'm saying Ya Allah, this, that, what's happening? Where's the fish? But what was the reason for that? The reason was that Allah Ta'ala wanted to give him more than fish. Bali Bali Musliman, imagine it, you're asking for fish. You want paradise, you want fish. So the person's not going to go, let me think about it. Right? The other person, do you want hell or do you want fish? Allah Ta'ala was giving him. Imagine it. So the lesson there is we are always in a win-win situation. The problem is, if you haven't got knowledge, you start despairing and you start making those statements. I'm making dua, and what's happening? You think, brother, don't utter those statements. Astaghfirullah. Related to this, subhanallah, there's a report about the dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, and there's a few reports, the meaning of which is, the dua is never unanswered. When you make a dua, it's answered. That's one. Number two, it's not answered. Then what happens? Allah Ta'ala takes away some sin because of not answering your dua. Imagine, so you're saying, Ya Allah, I need a Ferrari. Please give me a Ferrari. Right? And you're saying, yeah. Allah Ta'ala goes, no Ferrari. Ya Allah, I'm asking for the Ferrari. You're not giving me a Ferrari. So what's happening? Allah Ta'ala says, why part that sin? He doesn't need Ferraris. Right? Imagine, innit? Has that dua not been answered? Of course it's been answered, but you're the fruitcake, innit? Oh, okay. You don't get your sins forgiven. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala then, he keeps a calamity away from you. Ya Allah, I'm on a Ferrari. You're not even a Ferrari, right? Why? Because you're going to get struck, you're going to break both your legs. I'll hold back because I didn't answer your Ferrari. Right? Imagine in the second day, Ya Allah, where's my Ferrari? He's holding it back so you don't break your legs. Imagine in it. Somebody goes, okay, my sin hasn't got forgiven. Tribulation hasn't stopped. What else? What else is the deal? You get something in paradise. I'm on a Ferrari. Forget about the Ferrari. Give him something in Jannah. So now question. You got the Ferrari. Or you got your sins forgiven. Or some calamity was taken away. Or you get something in paradise. Who's got the best deal? Not the one with the Ferrari, is it? So should you be concerned about your dua getting answered? That's just such a shallow level of understanding. You should just say, yeah, making the dua is important. Making the dua. After that, Ya Allah, you know where to put it. I understand. I'm making dua, but you always answer my duas. But bore bali Musliman in it. I'm making dua, no, what's happening. Right? And they always think, because you didn't get the Ferrari in it, astaghfirullah. Just to finish, related to this is simply to control your emotions, about which our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Tabarani, in his Awsat, number 6269, Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaws, number 732, Abu Na'im al-Hilya, 8-289. Through forbearance, a man attains the same level of reward as someone who stands in prayer at night, fast during the day, and will also be graciously recorded as being of overwhelming might, despite having control only over his household. This is a very interesting report. So our beloved messenger, he said, if you control yourself, forbearance, in other words, tribulations are coming and you're showing forbearance. Allah Ta'ala loves that so much, how much does He love it? You get the reward of tahajjud and fasting every single day and night. And you are recorded as somebody with extraordinary might. You know, somebody who's got extraordinary strength. Allah Ta'ala was recorded as somebody with extraordinary strength. Despite the fact you're only controlling your household. So what does Allah Ta'ala love in His servants? Forbearance. You're happy. Ya Allah, I'm asking, you know best. I'm asking, you know best. He loves that quality. And He starts giving so much because of that quality. Conversely, He won't. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 7941. Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaws, number 4315. Anger spoils Iman. Just like aloe spoils honey. Anger spoils faith, iman. Just like aloe spoils honey. Aloe is like, you know, varnish. You put varnish in honey, what happens? Poisonous. That's what happens to iman when you're angry. But who you're angry over? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine. He's doing what's best for you and you're angry with Him. You know, word that one, ain't it? Astaghfirullah. And similarly, he won't to finish. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Bazar, Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 7978, Ibn Adi, in his Al-Qamil, 6-51, Al-Haythami, in Majma al-Zawaid, 8-74. He warned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one has ever become angry, except that he was on the brink of hell. Astaghfirullah. No one has ever become angry, except he was on the brink of hell. Imagine, when you're angry, the Prophet goes, this is the way to think of your reality. You're on the edge of hell. You only need somebody to push you in. But this anger is for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you get angry for Him, this is the sunnah. So that's how close you are to hell when you get angry. Think about that. So isn't it spoiling your iman? And what greater anger could there be? Or what worse anger can there be than with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why did you do this to me? Think about that, innit? You're questioning Him. Even though He gave you everything. In fact, you know, there's that hadith to finish. When Abu Talha, radiallahu, lost his son, and Sulaym, his wife, radiallahu, she basically made it look like he was asleep. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. So Abu Talha came back from the masjid and he goes, how's my son? So she goes, oh, he's at peace. And then they had relations during the night. The next morning, Sulaim said to Abu Talha, the case of our neighbors is very strange. He goes, why, what's up? He goes, I gave them something, and then when I wanted the item back, they didn't want to give it back. So Abu Talha goes, that's not right. He goes, you know, this is ours. He goes, why are they delaying and giving it back? Then Sulaim radiallahu anha said, Allah Ta'ala gave us our child, he took it back. So then Abu Talha's furious. He goes, you didn't tell me. And you made me do what I did tonight. And he went storming out of the house. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Talha, did you sleep with your wife? Did you have relations with her? He goes, yes. He goes, Allah Ta'ala has placed another child in your wife's womb. And he's greatly pleased in how your wife dealt with you. Now what was she telling him? She was telling him, why are you getting angry? Allah Ta'ala gave you your son, he took your son back. So where's the anger in that? Why are you getting angry for? It wasn't yours in the first place. But he didn't get, because he was thinking this was kind of a thing that she did. She should have told him straight away. And there's the reality. Imagine it. So here the Prophet said, don't go to the brink of hell by getting angry. Indeed, it mentions that during intense desire and anger, the accursed shaitan has great control over us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. I mean, two times where he's very strong, shaitan. One is when you're angry, you can't see straight. He's taken over. And the other is when you're desiring to, you're in desire, he takes over. So what does the intelligent person do? He doesn't get into that state. He goes, why would I let shaitan take over for? It's like giving shaitan the car keys and I'll be the passenger. There you go. What's he going to do with the car? Imagine, isn't it? He's going to cause havoc. And that's why here it's important that we understand this in terms of patience. So all I mentioned today was basically the important subject of how the believers respond to tribulations. And alhamdulillah, we've been given guidance in all matters. And the only thing we need to do is to act upon these exhortations by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhanallah bika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr. Sadaqallahu al-azim.